This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
For an insider's view of your favorite college and professional sports teams, there is no better source than Sports Illustrated. Award-winning reporting along with exclusive interviews. Always be up to date with Spotlight on Sports, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Spotlight on Sports, and I'm your reader, Pat, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from Sports Illustrated, April 2024, and USA Today Sports Weekly, April 24th to April 30th, 2024. And we'll start with American League East Preview, MLB 2024. Stacked with talent. This is written by Nick Selby. For the third straight year, the AL East had more wins than any other division in 2023. It also sent three teams to the postseason once again, only this time it was the three other clubs playing into October while the marquee Yankees and Red Sox were left out in the cold. The real surprise last year, though, was that none of the AL East qualifiers won even a single playoff game, with Toronto and Tampa Bay getting swept in the wild card round and Baltimore dropping three straight to Texas in the division series. But in 24, the AL East will once again be the most competitive top-to-bottom division in baseball. The Yankees have the talent and depth to make their postseason absence a brief one. Adding Juan Soto to a lineup that ranked 25th in scoring is a bold step toward returning to the playoffs, as he and Aaron Judge, who missed 2 months last season with a toe injury, will form perhaps the best 1-2 punch in the league. The Orioles, after emerging from their years-long rebuild to win 101 games in 23, look set for this year and beyond. They have the strongest farm system in MLB, a young core of everyday players, and former Cy Young winner Corbin Burnes, whom they acquired from the Brewers in February. With new ownership taking over, it appears that Baltimore's window for contending is just beginning to open. The Blue Jays and Rays, meanwhile, made only minor upgrades to their already strong rosters. Toronto has reached the playoffs in three of the past four seasons, but has been swept out of the wild card round each year. Tampa Bay has made the past five postseasons, though it hasn't won a series since advancing to the 2020 Fall Classic. As for the Red Sox, their off-season moves have done little to inspire confidence. Boston fans have limited patience for rebuilds, but all signs point toward the recent reshuffling in the division being the new normal. And here's the preview. Number 1, New York Yankees, plus 165 division, plus 1,000 World Series. Best case, DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton, and Anthony Rizzo bounce back to career norms, while Aaron Judge plays a full season. Carlos Rodon gives them at least 25 starts. Worst case, SS Anthony Volpe's progress stalls. Rodon, SP Marcus Stroman, and SP Nestor Cortes Jr. are banged up and ineffective as the Yankees miss the postseason again. Number 2, Baltimore Orioles. Plus 205 division, plus 1300 World Series. Best case, elite INF prospect Jackson Holliday arrives and boosts an already talented lineup. He, Adley Rutschman, and Gunnar Henderson form MLB's most exciting young trio. Worst case, Corbin Burnes isn't enough to save a thin, banged-up rotation. Adding Craig Kimbrell doesn't help an unreliable bullpen. The young bats have growing pains. Number 3, Tampa Bay Rays, plus 400 division, plus 2500 World Series. Best case, the Rays again prove adept at adding along the margins, as their latest anonymous overachiever spearhead a sixth straight playoff appearance. Worst case, Taj Bradley's development hits a speed bump or two, hindering a roster depleted by the losses of Tyler Glasnow, Robert Stevenson, and Luke Rayleigh. Number 4, Toronto Blue Jays, plus 650 division, plus 1400 World Series. Best case, Toronto again enjoys rare rotation health after its top four starters made a combined 128 starts last year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. bounces back to provide run support. Worst case, SP Alek Manoah struggles to regain his 2022 All-Star form, and the offense remains in the middle of the pack without the presence of Matt Chapman at the hot corner. And number 5, Boston Red Sox, plus 1300 division, plus 3300 World Series. Best case, SS Trevor Story's resurgence and 1B Tristan Casas's progression boost the lineup. Brayan Bello takes a leap in his third season to helm a better-than-expected rotation. Worst case? Story and new additions S.S. Vaughn Grissom and L.F. Tyler O'Neill can't rebound from disappointing 2023 seasons. The Red Sox finish in last place for the third straight year. Next, American League Central. Just Win, Baby by Nick Selby. Over the last 3 years, the bar to clear for teams who want to claim the AL Central has been as simple as it is low. Finish above 500. The past three division runners-up have been unable to top 81 wins, creating very little in the way of drama in August and September. And October hasn't been any better. None of the last three division champions have made it past the divisional round. In fact, no AL Central team has advanced to the ALCS since Cleveland in 2016, which was the last of a six-year run in which the division champ made it to MLB's Final Four. Look further back, and the trend toward futility runs even deeper. Since the wildcard era began in 1995, only two AL Central teams have won the World Series, the 2015 Royals and the 2005 White Sox. Will the division be stronger this year? It's hard to believe that it will. The Twins lost key contributors from last season's 87-win club, while their two main competitors, the Guardians and Tigers, haven't exactly had thrilling off-seasons. Cleveland turned to new manager Stephen Vogt, who is just 17 months removed from his playing career and has the unenviable task of replacing future Hall of Famer Terry Francona. A.J. Hinch, hired to manage Detroit in 2021, is still looking for his first winning season there, and the Tigers are tied with the Angels for the league's longest active playoff drought at 9 years. As for the Royals and White Sox, they are elbow deep in their rebuilds. Both teams have second-year managers coming off 100-loss debut seasons. Kansas City has 23-year-old superstar Bobby Witt Jr. to build around, but not much else, while Chicago finished its most recent push to contend with just one division title and zero postseason series wins. Will this be the year the AL Central actually has two teams finish with winning records? It's unlikely. But one team does have to win the division. Those are the rules. And here's the preview. Number 1, Minnesota Twins, minus 115 division, plus 2,800 World Series. Best case, Royce Lewis makes a star turn at third base, while starter Joe Ryan addresses the issues that led to his 2023 second-half slump after a strong opening to the season. Worst case, the off-season losses of Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda set the rotation back considerably. Carlos Correa fails to recover from his career-worst season last year. Number 2, Cleveland Guardians, plus 350 division, plus 6,000 World Series. Best case, 2B Andrés Giménez and LF Stephen Kwan bounce back to boost an offense that ranked 27th in runs scored, and Cleveland makes a push for the division crown. Worst case, 3B Jose Ramirez is the only consistent bat in the lineup, while Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber again battled injuries, hurting a rotation that is razor thin to begin with. Number 3, Detroit Tigers, plus 350 division, plus 6,000 World Series. Best case, CF Riley Green and 1B Spencer Torkelson take further steps toward stardom. Tariq Skubal stays healthy and emerges as a true staff ace. The playoff drought finally ends. Worst case, the Javier Baez contract looks even worse as the 31-year-old ex-Cub continues to spiral. The signings of pitchers Maeda and Jack Flaherty fail to pay off. Number 4, Kansas City Royals, plus 850 division, plus 10,000 World Series. Best case, 1B Vinny Pasquantino, 3B Maikel Garcia, CF Kyle Isbell, and 2B Michael Massey show progress and join SS Bobby Witt Jr. as franchise building blocks. Worst case, veteran pickups such as RF Hunter Renfroe and SP's Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha aren't enough to plug roster holes. The Royals finish last once again. And number 5, Chicago White Sox, plus 4,000 division, plus 12,500 World Series. Best case, SP Dylan Cease, DH Eloy Jimenez, and 3B Yoan Moncada boost their trade value. Michael Soroka's return to form after years of injury makes for a true feel-good story. Worst case, Chicago's most tradable assets fail to look all that enticing, setting back what looks to be a lengthy rebuild and making new GM Chris Getz's job even tougher. Now moving to the American League West. Who Will Mess with Texas? By Nick Selby. When the Rangers won their first World Series in franchise history last November, they also turned the AL West into a true Texas two-step. The path to the Fall Classic likely runs through the Lone Star State this year, as the Rangers and Astros have split the past two MLB titles. Houston has, quite impressively, appeared in each of the last seven AL Championship Series, including, of course, its defeat at the hands of the Rangers in last year's seven-game classic. Houston will attempt to avenge that loss behind new manager Joe Espada, who was promoted from bench coach to replace Dusty Baker after he retired at the age of 74. Also vying for the division crown will be the Mariners, who have notched at least 88 wins for three straight years, but have just one postseason appearance to show for it. They were swept by Houston in the 2022 Division Series. Seattle will lean on one of the best starting rotations in the game, led by budding ace George Kirby and three-time All-Star Luis Castillo. That trio of squads should deliver one of the most exciting division races of 24, as they did last year. As for the Angels and Athletics, the competition between those two is to see whose situation is bleaker. The A's, set to leave Oakland after this year, have lost more than 100 games in each of the past two seasons and will likely run that streak to 3. The Angels, meanwhile, will try to make the best of life without Shohei Ohtani, who is now with the Dodgers, after having squandered his 6 years in Anaheim. The club has resisted a full-blown rebuild during Mike Trout's tenure, an approach that has led to a 9-year playoff drought. So once again, Los Angeles will try to contend with an aging roster in a division led by three teams with championship aspirations, and, crucially, sound strategies to support such lofty goals. And here's the preview. Number 1, Houston Astros, plus 100 division, plus 850 World Series. Best case, DH/LF Yordan Alvarez rakes and 1B Jose Abreu returns to form for one of the AL's best offenses. Newcomer Josh Hader affirms that he's the game's top closer. Worst case, the rotation suffers as Justin Verlander, at 41, shows his age, Hunter Brown's development stalls, and Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers Jr. are slow to return from injury. Number 2, Texas Rangers, plus 200 division, plus 1100 World Series. Best case, Nathan Eovaldi stays healthy, and Dane Dunning builds on a breakout 2023 season to hold the fort at the top of the rotation, providing support to a loaded lineup. Worst case, Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom don't make their expected second-half returns from injury. That, plus a faulty bullpen, leaves the Rangers in too many slugfests. Number 3, Seattle Mariners, plus 300 division, plus 2000 World Series. Best case, George Kirby blossoms into a true Cy Young contender, and Julio Rodriguez, with a deeper lineup behind him, leads Seattle to its first division title in 23 years. Worst case, last season's bullpen magic vanishes, and young starters Kirby, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, and Emerson Hancock experience growing pains. Number 4, Los Angeles Angels, plus 4,500 division, plus 8,000 World Series. Best case, CF Mike Trout and 3B Anthony Rendon stay healthy, while starters Reed Detmers, Patrick Sandoval, and Griffin Canning improve, keeping LA in the hunt. Worst case, promising youngsters SS Zach Neto, C. Logan O'Hop, and 1B Nolan Shanuel aren't ready for everyday roles. The pitching staff remains a weak spot. And number 5, Oakland Athletics, plus 20,000 division, plus 30,000 World Series. Best case, young players such as 2B Zach Geloff, CF Esturi Ruiz, and C. Shea Langlers form a promising core, while the veterans show enough value to bring trade returns. Worst case, fan outrage at the franchise's coming relocation gives way to indifference, and an empty Oakland Coliseum provides a bleak backdrop for a listless swan song. Now previewing the National League East. It's Theirs to Lose by Will Laws. It's starting to look a lot like the 1990s in the NL East. The Braves enter this season gunning for their seventh straight division title. And with much of their elite talent locked up for the rest of the decade or longer, the possibility of another dynasty to complement their 14 straight division titles between 1991 and 2005 is real. Atlanta also has the talent to one-up the previous crew by winning a second World Series. There is some urgency with regard to the Braves' pitching staff, however, with Max Fried entering his final year under contract, Charlie Morton turning 40, and elite talent scarce in the farm system. While Atlanta has recently kept the Phillies at bay during the regular season, consecutive defeats to them in the NLDS have bred a fierce rivalry and a popular notion that Bryce Harper, J.T. Realmuto, and company hold the upper hand in the postseason. Philadelphia sure seems to think so, as it returns essentially the same roster, hoping for a third consecutive deep run in October. The bigger looming threat, however, may be the Mets, backed by owner Steve Cohen's seemingly bottomless pit of cash. While New York has indicated it's focused on returning to contention in 2025, newly hired president of baseball operations, David Stearns, showed a tendency to exceed expectations during his time with the Brewers. The Marlins also have a new head honcho in the front office, after poaching former Rays executive Peter Bendix with an eye on replicating the low-budget success of their in-state rivals. Nationals shortstop C.J. Abrams has a legitimate shot to become the fifth player in MLB history to hit 25 home runs and steal 60 bases in a season. Abrams, catcher Keibert Ruiz, starters Mackenzie Gore and Josiah Gray, and outfielder James Wood could mature into a formidable force in Washington the next few years. And here's the preview. Number 1, Atlanta Braves, -240 division, +650 World Series. Best case. Another historic regular season offensive performance carries into October to support dominant years from starters Spencer Strider and Max Fried. Worst case, Chris Sale and Charlie Morton look their ages while battling injury issues. A depleted pitching staff proves too shallow in another early postseason exit. Number 2, Philadelphia Phillies, +310 division, +1100 World Series. Best case, Trey Turner hears applause all year during an MVP campaign. The pitching is boosted by top prospect Andrew Painter in his return from Tommy John surgery. Worst case, after a quiet offseason, Philadelphia's winning formula turns stale as its army of 30-something stars shows signs of decline. Number 3, New York Mets, +1100 division, +2500 World Series. Best case, David Stearns brings his pitching development magic from Milwaukee, and New York's patchwork, veteran-laden rotation does enough for a wild-card spot. Worst case, Stearns' short-term free agent bets fall flat, and Steve Cohen's focus on 2025 pressures the Mets into a trade deadline fire sale that ends the Pete Alonso era. Number 4, Miami Marlins, +1600 division, +5500 World Series. Best case, executive Peter Bendix shows he was the real brains behind the Rays' recent success, and a flurry of shrewd midseason moves helps Miami earn a playoff berth. Worst case, despite having 2023 batting champ Luis Arraez, the Marlins once again feel the NL's lowest scoring offense. The surging Nats push the Marlins into the NL East cellar. And number 5, Washington Nationals, +10,000 division, +12,500 World Series. Best case, the trades of Juan Soto, Trey Turner, and Max Scherzer for prospects continue to bear fruit as the youngsters take a step forward. The Nationals flirt with 500. Worst case, top prospect James Wood, 6'6", 234 pounds, plays more like Joey Gallo than Aaron Judge. The Nats fall short of last year's 71 wins for yet another losing season. Next is the National League Central, There for the Taking by Will Laws. All 5 NL Central teams are projected by FanGraphs to win between 77 and 83 games, the smallest range of any division. The bunching reflects the reality of a division in which every team can believe it has a shot. Optimism should abound in Cincinnati. Last year, its offense paced the majors with 190 stolen bases and helped the Reds rebound from 2022's 100-loss campaign to an 82-80 record. The future looks bright when you consider that Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Andrew Abbott, and Hunter Green all have yet to turn 25. The Cubs will have a fresh start under new manager Craig Counsell, poached from division foe Milwaukee. He will have more offensive weapons to work with in Chicago, which ranked behind only the Braves and Dodgers in runs scored in the NL last year, while finishing one game back in the wildcard race. The Brewers are the defending division champion, but also a team in transition, after losing not only Counsell, but also top executive David Stearns, who went to the Mets, and ace Corbin Burns, who was traded to the Orioles ahead of his pending free agency after this season. In St. Louis, Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, spent this offseason trying to mend a rotation whose ERA, 5.07, ranked 26th in the majors and sunk St. Louis to its first-ever last-place finish in the NL Central. The Cards signed veterans Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, and Lance Lynn, meaning their rotation will be composed entirely of starters entering their age 33 to age 37 seasons. Then there's the Pirates, who have to feel that the Reds jumped them on the road to a rebuild. The team with the NL's lowest payroll has again added cost-friendly veterans who should outplay their salaries. But manager Derek Shelton and GM Ben Cheerington, now in their fifth year together, must show progress after winning 76 games last season. And here's the preview. Number 1, Cincinnati Reds. Plus 340 division, plus 4,000 World Series. Best case. Frankie Montas, like another ex-Yankee, Sonny Gray, finds new life in Cincinnati. Andrew Abbott and a surprisingly strong rotation help the Reds take the division. Worst case. The Reds regret not using their surplus of hitters to acquire more arms, as Montas breaks down and their young starters continue to allow too many home runs. Number 2, Chicago Cubs, plus 180 division, plus 3,300 World Series. Best case. Cody Bellinger picks up where he left off after re-signing with the club. SP Justin Steele shows he's no one-year wonder, and Craig Counsell leads a playoff run. Worst case, despite signing Japanese lefty Shota Imanaga and setup man Hector Neris, the pitching isn't enough, and Chicago again falls just short of the postseason. Number 3, Milwaukee Brewers, plus 700 division, plus 7,000 World Series. Best case. Top prospect Jackson Chourio sparks a long stale offense for new manager Pat Murphy, while a pitching staff long on depth and short on stars hangs tough. Worst case. Free agent signings 1B Rice Hoskins and C Gary Sanchez fail to add much pop to the lineup, and Milwaukee finishes below 500 for the first time in a full season since 2016. Number 4, St. Louis Cardinals, plus 185 division, plus 3,300 World Series. Best case. Veteran starters bring stability to the rotation, while young batters separate themselves from a position player logjam to help the Cardinals go from worst to first. Worst case. The gamble on aging pitchers fails. 3B Nolan Arenado has another subpar year, leading to the franchise's first consecutive losing seasons since 1994-95. And number 5, Pittsburgh Pirates, plus 1,600 division, plus 8,000 World Series. Best case. SS O'Neill Cruz and former number 1 pick C. Henry Davis usher in a new era of optimism, as a strong start convinces the front office to buy at the trade deadline. Worst case, Pittsburgh's rebuild hits a nasty bump as 3B Ke'Bryan Hayes regresses at the plate and the Pirates return to the NL Central cellar, prompting a rash of firings. And finally, a preview of the National League West. Talking a Blue Streak by Will Laws. Despite winning a total of 211 games over the past two regular seasons, the Dodgers have looked awfully mortal in October, falling in the playoffs to division foes in consecutive years, San Diego in 2022, Arizona in 23, and thus giving their rivals a sweet taste of revenge. Well, those rivals better have enjoyed their fun while it lasted. The Dodgers look set to dominate for years after signing Shohei Ohtani to the biggest sports contract ever, 10 years, $700 million, and Japanese star pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto to the largest deal ever for a pitcher, 12 years, $325 million. In addition to acquiring and extending former Rays fireballer Tyler Glasnow. L.A. has won 10 of the last 11 NL West division titles, and it sure looks like San Francisco's turn at the top in 2021 will be an outlier. If there's one team that should feel confident about its playoff chances, though, it's the Diamondbacks. Arizona's Cinderella run to the World Series in 2023 came at least a year ahead of schedule, behind a young core led by NL Rookie of the Year Corbin Carroll. The front office has since added power bats Eugenio Suarez and Jock Peterson, as well as solid number 3 starter Eduardo Rodriguez. Arizona could also be boosted by top shortstop prospect Jordan Lawler. San Diego did what it had to by trading Juan Soto's hefty contract to the Yankees to replenish a rotation ravaged by free agency, but it essentially shut its championship window in the process. The death of owner Peter Seidler in November likely marks the end of the Padres' free-spending ways. The Giants reeled in KBO star outfielder Hung Hoo Lee and former World Series MVP Jorge Soler, which should help. More moves may come, but regardless, San Francisco is still ahead of Colorado, which accomplished nothing of note this offseason after losing 103 games last year. The Rockies would do well to avoid another 100-loss debacle. And here's the preview. Number 1, Los Angeles Dodgers. -450 division, +350 World Series. Best case. Even without Shohei Ohtani on the mound this year, Los Angeles cruises to a World Series title behind Freddie Freeman and the best offense in baseball. Worst case. Pitching is an issue as injury-prone Tyler Glasnow goes down again and Yoshinobu Yamamoto struggles to adjust. The Dodgers make another early playoff exit. Number 2, Arizona Diamondbacks, +800 division, +2500 World Series. Best case. All the pieces picked up in free agency fit into place, and SS Jordan Lawler follows the footsteps of Corbin Carroll by winning NL Rookie of the Year. Worst case, the middle of the rotation gets beat up, the bullpen can't carry over its October magic into 2024, and the defending NL champs turn out to be a one-off. Number 3, San Diego Padres, +1200 division, +3300 World Series. Best case. Several of the starters sent over in the Juan Soto trade slot into the rotation nicely, while 3B Manny Machado and the other star hitters propel a deep playoff run. Worst case, new manager Mike Schilt can't fix the clubhouse issues that have surfaced over the last few years, and an under 500 finish spells the end for GM A.J. Preller. Number 4, San Francisco Giants, +1200 division, +3300 World Series. Best case. Korean star Hung Hoo Lee proves to be an on-base machine, and Jorge Soler, signed from Miami, becomes the Giants' first 30-home run hitter since Barry Bonds. Worst case. A thin rotation behind workhorse Logan Webb and missed acquisitions by executive Farhan Zaid lead to another uninspiring season in the middle of the pack. And number 5, Colorado Rockies, +20,000 division, +15,000 World Series. Best case. The Rockies' high-priced veterans stay healthy enough to be traded at the deadline, while Colorado bottoms out and gains another top 3 draft pick. Worst case, Chris Bryant, Kyle Freeland and company continue to weigh down the payroll. 23 rookie standout Nolan Jones regresses, and the Rockies lose out in the draft lottery. Now reading from USA Today Sports Weekly, April 24th to 20th, 2024. Starting with WNBA Draft Recap, where college's top stars are playing next, from staff reports. Number 1, Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark, G, Iowa. The prolific shooting guard from Iowa set the NCAA all-time scoring mark and ushered in a newfound popularity for women's basketball that reaped records for attendance and television viewership. Clark joins a Fever team with 2023 WNBA Rookie of the Year, Alaya Boston. The Fever finished 13-27 last season and missed the postseason in each of the past 7 seasons. The 22-year-old native of West Des Moines, Iowa, electrified crowds wherever she played this season because of her shooting range, regularly hitting logo three-pointers with ease, and her playmaking ability, routinely setting up teammates for easy scores. But an inside-outside combination of Clark and Boston could propel Indiana back to the playoffs. Number 2, Los Angeles Sparks, Cameron Brink, F. Stanford. The 6'4" forward, who won the 2021 National Championship with the Cardinals, was named the Pac-12 Player of the Year after dominating on both ends of the court all season. Besides her prowess on the hardwood, Brink, known for her physical play and signature blonde braids, has a solid NIL portfolio and family ties to NBA star Steph Curry. Cameron Brink averaged 17.4 points and 11.9 rebounds per game this season with Stanford. Her boards average ranks third in the country. She also led the nation with 3.74 blocks per outing. Number 3, Chicago Sky, Kamala Cardoso, C, South Carolina. The 6-foot center from Brazil led South Carolina to the 2024 NCAA championship. Cardoso's stock is higher after a strong run in the NCAA tournament, including 15 points, 17 rebounds, and 3 blocks in the national championship game. She earned tournament Most Outstanding Player honors after South Carolina's run to the title. She is a force on the defensive end and is improving on offense as a post scorer. Cardoso will be coached in Chicago by another Hall of Fame point guard in Teresa Weatherspoon after Dawn Staley coached her in South Carolina. Number 4, Los Angeles, Ricky Jackson, F, Tennessee. The 6'2" forward size will help her make an immediate impact for the Sparks, a team looking to get back to the top of the league and back to the playoffs. Per ESPN, Jackson was one of only 5 SEC players to average 20 points and 5 rebounds per game over multiple seasons. Her versatility will be huge as she moves on to the pros, and her explosive first step will help her get to the rim pretty much anytime she wants. She has a thin frame but is stronger than she looks, which allows her to finish through contact. Number 5, Dallas Wings, J.C. Sheldon, G, Ohio State. Sheldon is one of the top guards in this draft not named Caitlin Clark. She's a plus defender and 3-point shooter who could help on both ends immediately. She averaged 17.8 points, 3.2 rebounds, 3.8 assists, and 1.9 steals per game in her final season with the Buckeyes. Number 6, Washington Mystics, Aliyah Edwards, F, UConn. The 6'3" Edwards helped lead UConn back to the Final Four this past season. Edwards, a 2-time All-American, could have an immediate impact. She is a very good defender and improving as a post scorer and jump shooter. She averaged 17.6 points, 9.2 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.7 steals, and 1 block per game in the 2023-24 season. Number 7, Chicago, Angel Reese, FCLSU. Reese, who led the Lady Tigers to last year's NCAA title and was named the tournament's Most Outstanding Player, was a first-team All-American this season, averaging 18.6 points and 13.4 rebounds per game. She averaged 20.9 points and 14.4 rebounds for the Tigers over her last 2 seasons and would likely continue as a walking double-double in the WNBA. Number 8, Minnesota Lynx, Alyssa Peely, F, Utah. Peely is wildly efficient. Though she's undersized at 6'2", she's extremely strong and crafty around the bucket, able to score on players who are considerably bigger than her. Need proof of just how good she is? She scored 37 points, 37, on South Carolina. Yes, that's the national champion Gamecocks, who were the top defensive team in the country this season. Number 9, Dallas, Carla Leet, G, France. The 5'9" Leet will join J.C. Sheldon with the Wings. And number 10, Connecticut Sun, Lila Lacan, G, France. The 5'11" playmaking combo guard is solid on defense. Next up is Turning a Stadium into an Epic Ballpark by Joe Mock. Special to USA Today. Toronto. Americans may take for granted that there are 29 Major League Baseball teams within the country to root for. Canada has precisely one. And make no mistake about it, the Toronto Blue Jays place great importance on their role as Canada's team. Take Joey Sugai. The 41-year-old flew from Calgary, Alberta, just to see the Blue Jays play their first home games of the 2024 season. It's a trip he's made often during the past two decades. Prompting this trip, though, was the allure of a $400 million Canadian renovation of the stadium with the retractable dome. "I wanted to see all of the new social spaces," Sugai said. "That and the fact there was a promotion where I could get this ticket for just $9. Sugai made sure he was in line when the gates opened so he could run to the Canada Dry bleachers adjacent to the visitors' bullpen. He claimed a prized spot on the third row of the section that holds only 250 fans. By arriving a little earlier than Sugai, Zoe Jenkins snared a first-row position. She also outdid his trip to Toronto by almost 2,000 miles, as she traveled from her home in Nottingham, England, to see the reimagined stadium. "It's nice being able to watch the pitchers warm up," she says of her front-row spot. "It's a really nice atmosphere down here, plus you have an amazing view for the money." These are all exactly the type of sentiments Rogers Communications, owners of Canada's team and its stadium, want to hear. Since they asked for no public funds, they provided the $400 million for the renovations. And with none of the bureaucratic red tape that would have added years to the process, the renovations were completed in just two off-seasons. Sky Dome, a baseball first. Sky Dome, as Rogers Centre was called when it opened in 1989, had certainly become dated over its first three decades. It was originally conceived as a multi-purpose facility for the Canadian Football League, NBA, soccer, events like WrestleMania, and of course, the Blue Jays. And the sight lines for baseball were simply never like that of a baseball-only facility. If Rogers Communications was willing to spend $400 million on renovations, why not just apply that amount to the construction of a brand new ballpark elsewhere in Toronto? "We have an amazing location where our fans can literally get here no matter who they are," says Marnie Starkman, the team's executive VP of business operations. "Whether it's GO Train from East and West, Subway, Streetcar, or Uber, this is the best location. After games, you can spill out to the streets and head to the bars and the restaurants. You can head down by the waterfront. We've got the aquarium and the CN Tower." Perhaps more than any other big league team, Blue Jays fans take public transportation to games, typically ending up at Toronto's Union Station, a short walk from Rogers Centre. So the noticeable lack of parking close to the facility isn't a problem to be fixed. Starkman stresses that the emphasis was clearly on improving Rogers Centre, not replacing it. "Our focus was to do something generational for the next 10 to 15 years with the ballpark that we have," he says. "Our goal was to turn a 1989 multi-purpose venue into a ballpark where we play baseball first." In concert with sports architecture firm Populous, the renovations were done in two phases. The first phase drastically changed the outfield seats into a series of neighborhoods, as Rogers Centre had been severely lacking in social gathering spaces. These changes were completed prior to the 2023 season. "Social spaces are how people watch baseball now, right?" says Starkman. "They want to experience three innings in their seats, three innings at a drink rail or in a bar, three innings at a kid's zone. We didn't have any of that." The second phase necessitated a complete demolition of the field-level seating sections and rebuilding them with new seats that all face the infield and are closer to the field. This also permits the concourse at the rear of the seats to be significantly wider. The arrangement now resembles new MLB parks built this century, much like the Truist Park in Atlanta, including new premium seats between the dugouts. While the renovations certainly extend the lifespan of Rogers Centre, Derek Summers, associate principal at Populous, says the changes convey a lot about the Blue Jays and their ownership. "It was an honor working with a team with such great vision," Summers says. "It was obvious the Blue Jays loved their city and embraced their fans." Because of their strength and their confidence, they were unified in their priorities to keep fan interest sky high. This project shows they are nimble as fan expectations change over time. Upgrading hot dogs. Starting this season, Legends oversees the food and beverage served to Rogers Center fans. The firm formed as a joint venture of the Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees in 2008. There really was method to the madness of making so many changes at once, says Starkman. A big part of changing the fan experience is changing the food and beverage experience. And we have obsessed over that and will continue to obsess over that. We have no better partner to do that with than Legends. A big hit on the upgraded menus are the hot dogs. While fan favorites like Schneider's Ballpark hot dog and Footlong hot dog are still around, there is now a hot maple and bacon hot dog, $11.49 Canadian, which is marinated in hot maple syrup for several hours before serving it with a sprinkling of beef bacon. Note, one Canadian dollar is approximately 73 cents American dollars. You'll also find a signature poutine hot dog, $10.49. If you've visited this region, you've no doubt encountered Canadians' love of poutine, which is typically cheese curds and gravy over French fries. This new take, though, combines fried potato chunks, cheese curds, and gravy over an upscale beef wiener, all served on a fresh bun. Yes, it's as messy to eat as it sounds. As a nod to the food carts that are found everywhere on Toronto streets and municipal parks, there are new stuffed Jamaican patties, two for $15.89, filled with spicy jerk chicken, coleslaw, and barbecue sauce, and poke bowls, $18.49, featuring sushi-grade fish. For true blue fans, while infield seating changes are brand new for 2024, fans have been enjoying the social spaces in the outfield since last year. Laura Stacy particularly enjoys the family atmosphere of TD Park Social, which replaced seldom sold seats high above left field. She recently brought her son Saxon, 9, to watch his favorite player, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. As an adult, it's even more enjoyable coming here now because the kids can play while we get to watch the game, she notes. And it feels much more like you're attending a game in a place meant for baseball now. They really did a great job on all of the changes. Not all fans are fond of the renovations, though. Brothers Mitch and Neil Flagg have attended Blue Jays games since they were kids, as their father had season tickets. Mitch, 54, now has his own season tickets. Real Jays fans have a hunger for the World Series, he said. There's nothing about these changes that gives me optimism that it will help the product on the field. Adds Neil, 52, the $400 million was spent on the rich people sitting near home plate. The best thing about Rogers Center was when 50,000 fans were here for big games, and there was so much energy. Now I fear that this home field advantage has been lost. All of the changes have reduced the seating capacity from 50,516 when the Blue Jays won the World Series in 1992 and 93 to 39,150 now. As it relates to home field advantage, I have absolutely no concern about that, says Starkman, about the reduced capacity. If you heard this ballpark on the home playoff games that we've had, and even our home opener this year, our fans are loud and proud. Regarding the rich people who sit close to the field, she explains, the reality of the premium seats is a lot of our season ticket members moved into those seats. We have true blue fans sitting there. I know that from talking to them, and I know that from how passionate they were in the relocation process. Regarding there being a connection between the renovation and money for payroll, she says, they really are two separate discussions. We needed to deal with the building, regardless of what the payroll would have been. Player impact. So while the changes were mostly to improve fan amenities and create a physical space more like a classic ballpark, the players are seeing upgraded facilities too. Starkman notes that the Blue Jays really emphasize providing the best-in-class facilities for our players and their families. And we have taken care of that, that allows them to have an environment to succeed. Renovations affecting players are new artificial turf, less foul territory, new dugouts, new raised bullpens, an enlarged clubhouse with every imaginable amenity, and a lounge for players' families. It looks absolutely beautiful, Blue Jays outfielder Kevin Kiermaier told Sportsnets Canada. I love the upgrades. The clubhouse, the field, everything is amazing. Or as Zoe Jenkins, who came all the way from the UK to see the reimagined Rogers Centre, puts it, it's all pretty epic. Rogers Centre facts. Opened June 3, 1989 with the name Sky Dome. Original cost $570 million Canadian. Phase 1 of renovation, completed for 2023 season, created social spaces, elevated bullpens, moved outfield seats closer to the field. Phase 2 of renovation, mostly completed for 2024 season, replaced playing surface, rebuilt 100-level seating, new clubhouse and dugouts, new accessible seating on field level. Demolition, £29.5 million of materials were removed and recycled. Construction materials used, 6,500 cubic meters of concrete and 3.3 million pounds of structural steel. Cost of two-phase renovations, 400 million Canadian, all privately funded. Stadium lights, Musco lighting. New outfield dimensions, left field 328, left center 368, center 400, right center 359, right 328. Seating capacity 39,150, down from 49,282 in 2022. Number of seats replaced 31,050. Architect for renovations, Populous. Design lead, Derek Summers. Construction for renovations, PCL Construction. Food service vendor, first year for Legends. Yet to be completed, season ticket holder lounges underneath 100 level seats by mid-season 2024. That's the end of that article, and it's all the time we have for today. This has been Pat with Spotlight on Sports. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.